Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me or found me here on our Aspire radio program on the internet. It's very, very kind of you to listen. I hope you will take the time. We're going to be talking about your place in this life, in this world, and this will be a tricky one for me. I want to remind you that these radio programs are here because of the generosity, the kindness, the love, the devotion of my sponsors who make it possible for you to listen to them and for me to make them. And I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart for their generosity, their kindness, and their loving support. If you are enjoying these programs, I hope you will take the time to go to the website here at aspire.org where they originate from and go take a look at why support Aspire. It will give you all the information you need about what true giving is all about, what sponsorship is all about, how your donations are used to serve humankind, which they are, and everything you need to know about becoming a sponsor and helping us sustain our radio program here and our TV program. And if you go to the website at aspire.org, you'll see some very, very, very beautiful TV programs we've done. We've won, I don't know how many Emmys. I think it's six or something like that, and tallies and everything we do, we try to do to make it so you have a chance to see the other side of the coin, the other side of life, to maybe go beyond the veil. And I hope that you will take advantage of all of this and the beauty of what my sponsors have created on the website at aspire.org. To know my place. This is huge. And evidently, and I don't know where this listener heard it from with me, I produce so many things, frankly, sometimes I forget, where somebody could pick this up from. This man is named David. He lives in Ontario, California, and he listens and watches my TV programs and listens to our radio programs every day, he says. So I'm humbly grateful for that. I really am. And evidently, I had talked about finding our place in this world in one of my discourses. So he has asked me about it in a three-part question. And I took it because I really thought this was unusual that someone would be perceptive enough to pick up on this, and maybe it would help you and it would help others as well as himself in all of this. So that's why I'm doing it this way from one listener. And I rarely do this, but when a question comes in that is just incredibly intelligent, I have to go for it, no matter what. So here we go into this. I want to preface this whole thing. This really rankles and pisses off my students a great deal, okay? And it probably will you too, a lot of you. And this is what's made me so, infamous. You have to understand, we're not all here to be the Queen of Sheba. And we're here, some of us, as coal miners in the hearts of our being. There's lots of different karmas that we are subject to when you come into a world like this. You take on a physical body. You take on a lineage. You take on the world, partnering with people, humankind in this category. And it can all be very confusing. So I'm going to explain everything as best I possibly can as we go down through the three questions that David has offered. Greg, I don't understand what you mean about finding our place in this world. Do you mean a physical place? ? And that was the first part of his question. Partly, I do mean that. It does include that, but that was not really what I was talking about. David, you and I and everyone in this world has a place in this world. A place that we have placed ourselves in order to mature spiritually speaking, to grow spiritually speaking. And if we don't mature and grow and find the nature of ourselves, then we have negated the very reason for our existence here on earth. And that would make it very difficult for me and thee to find meaning in our life. Now, not everyone wants meaning in their life, and that's part of their place. They don't want to seek the meaning of what it is to sustain a life where love reigns supreme. Believe it or not, people want to be loved. They don't want to get that place inside where love exists and live in the beauty of it. They want the accoutrement of love, but they don't want to work upon love itself. So it's more enticing for people to want to be loved than it is to be love. And that's a part of the difficulty of our place. Now, I have my place in this world, and you have yours, and everyone has theirs. And everybody is seeking to try to up the ante of their place. They want a better place in this world, and that usually translates into lifestyle. It usually translates into, I want a better car, better home, a better this, a better that. And so people live to get more and better. And they want to get it without having to work too hard for it or work at all. That's the whole idea. If they don't have to work at all, then they're really, really happy about it. So that's kind of what the world is about. I have to find my place. What does that mean? What am I here for? Everything that I live in this world for is about something that needs to awaken within me. If I awaken to that place that lives within me, if I can recognize my place in this world, and I'm going to give you some examples of that, then I am no longer fighting in the futility of trying to get more out of this world. Get more, a better social place, a better financial place, a better whatever place. You know, David, in all the years I've been a teacher, I have dealt with all sorts of people. 44 years I've been a teacher. And in those 44 years, I have dealt with just about every conceivable personality trait I could endure. I really run a daycare center for adults. I don't have the wherewithal and the kind of students that would really delve deep into this and not side path. They're always looking for something better and something a little bit more that they could understand that'll make their lives whatever they want it to be. Some want longevity, some want money, some want people, some want stuff. It's insane. And they can be side-pathed really quickly, David. So they don't know their place. They're always looking for a better place. I used to have a Cocker Spaniel, and I called her Noelle. And the joke about Noelle was she was always looking and scavenging her whole life for food, food here, food there. And I used to call her Noelle anywhere but here, Penn. And I think people are like that a lot. I don't strive to be popular. I don't strive to be infamous either, but I am. I don't strive for anything. I know my place as a humble teacher. I know the kind of guff and craziness I have to endure to be a teacher, and I have to be willing to do it. I know my place. And I always think of it as a coal miner in people's human heart and trying to help them understand the nature of their authentic heart. So when I'm talking about the idea of finding our place, I'm not thinking in terms of just the physical world, although it does include that. I don't have a mansion on the hill, yada, yada, yada. I don't, I don't seek to have more or to display any kind of self-importance, because to my mind, the only importance I have is when love has been reached, when love has been touched within me, when I have found a state of love within me. That's the only time anything really becomes important. Everything else is superfluous, and I can kind of learn and live from that. But you got to understand, I don't want to be an important person. I want to be a conscious person, and I am willing to sacrifice notoriety and everything else for the sake of the awakening. So to find my place, I need to realize why I'm here, what I'm doing here, what it all means to my inner growth, my inwardness. Can I allow my inwardness to manifest, to flourish at the cost of being what my hubris would like me to become? That's really it in a nutshell. When I'm no longer concerned about the idea of my own self-image based in low self-esteem or whatever, and trying to up the ante so my self-esteem is better, I accept where I find my body. I accept where I find my mind. I understand the nature of my emotions, my genetics, my DNA. I understand that I'm in a human body. I accept that place in my human body. Now, do I try to just change that or succumb to it? Oh, no. No, no, no. I don't succumb to it. But the limits that I have, I work with. I have limits. I have inabilities. I have faults. I have all sorts of things like any other human being. In fact, every spiritual master I've ever been around had all of those things. So I don't try to make them go away. I'm not trying to perfect the imperfect. I am seeking to understand the imperfections and how they might help me become aware of that which is so perfect that lives all around me as well as within me. So I am not too concerned with the idea of being better than. I am more concerned about awakening. Awakening to that which lives within me. Okay, let's go to the next part. Greg, what if I don't like my place in this world and I want something better? I know a lot of people like that, David. I do. I know a lot of people who, were raised in poverty, yada, 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 and did a lot of things to get themselves out of the poverty. And that's a wonderful thing. Okay. And I like that. I think that is a very beautiful thing. But to think that money is going to make me a better person is not the way. People don't understand what money is. And money reveals a great deal about a person. Ladies, if the man you're with is cheap, he's going to be cheap with you too. And vice versa, gentlemen, if she's cheap, she's going to be cheap with you. I've found that money is the medium of where a person's at in love, the level of their love. And I have been at the mercilessness of the American public for 44 years. And sometimes you find people who are very kind and generous because they understand money. And then you have those who don't understand money, which is the majority, who wouldn't give you anything at any time because they believe they don't have to or shouldn't have to or they don't want to participate in anything because they like hoarding money. And they're so insecure that all they have is money. Some rich people that I have known are so poor that all they have is money. And so I have learned over the years how to watch all of that. You don't want to be poor. You don't want to be needy. And yet I tell you, no matter how much money you have, and I've, you know, dealt with a lot of people who have a lot of money, they are very unkind for a lot of them about themselves. They're very unkind towards themselves. They think that they can cover up that sadness and that sorrow and that regret and that all that other stuff with money. If they take a trip here, if they go there, if they have this, and if they live there, and then they get the respect of, or what they think is respect from people who would love to have as much money as they have, and it just goes on and on and on and on. And when money defines a person, then there's a problem. And if you don't like where you find yourself, then you need to stay there long enough to understand why you're there. Why am I here? Maybe you're in some unhappy situation that you have no cognate idea as to why you're there. It's just there you are, and here it is, and it isn't changing. And boy, is it difficult type of thing. And I want out of this. Well, maybe it's time for you to just sit with it and figure out through meditation, what is it about me that made all this possible? Now, it isn't that you're stuck there forever. You can transcend anything. But you have to be willing to transcend it. You have to be willing to want to go into that which most people can't go into, which is forgiveness and love. I cannot stress enough, David, forgiveness. I cannot stress it enough. Forgiveness is a very big thing in a person's life. It's huge. It's monumental. And if you don't have a sense of forgiveness, if you don't have a sense of letting go, you'll be drugged through the muck and the mire of our own emotionality. There have been many times, David, in my life where I have not liked where I was. I was young and dumb and impetuous and arrogant and all that other stuff. And as time went on and I started to realize more and more and more what a putz I was, that's when I started to really realize the state of my being, which was far more beautiful than the state of my assumed ideals and beliefs. So if you're a wise person, if you can be wise, you can look into all of this and see everything for the way it is, why it's there, how it's there, and start to live your life from the point of view of accepting where you find yourself, maturing in where you find yourself, using the limits that you may have in your life as a way to stay focused upon what's going on in your heart. Remember, David, it's all about my heart and your heart. It's about living in a heart-filled life, not a human heart that's all emotional and mamby-pamby. No, it's about the heart of hearts, the authentic, real heart, where nothing is judged right or wrong, where there is no good or bad, up or down. There's just the heart. And when you start moving in the heart and you start living as the heart, then you will find your place suddenly becomes meaningful. I'm not going to say it changes because I don't want to give you the impression that you do anything you do in a spiritual practice for the sake of betterment. No, the whole effort is to move into a spiritual practice to accelerate into consciousness. Now, you can make that a goal. You can make that a challenge. You can do whatever you want with it. But until your practice is about nothing, no thing, you will not find that you move one iota from where you are. The greatest changes I have found in my life were the ones that I didn't invoke. They were put upon me, and they were very, at times, scary, and at other times, beautiful. And I found, cling to nothing, David. This is the secret. Cling to nothing. Your good can turn into your evil in a heart's breath. Just boom, it's there. Take a breath into the heart and it's over. And it can go the other way. The thing that you thought was the worst that could happen to you, you can suddenly realize in a heart's breath, it's the best thing that ever could have happened to you. So nothing stays the same. Everything is unfolding. And the last part of your email and question. What promise is there in finding my perfect place? David, you're in that perfect place right now. Everybody's in their perfect place. Your listening to me is perfect. I don't think you recognize how hard it is to find someone like me. It's very difficult. The fact that you stumbled upon our radio programs via the TV programs that you saw on YouTube, etc., etc., all of that was perfect. And here you and I are, so to speak, having some interchange about the meaning of your life due to all those things that happened. And they weren't by luck and they weren't by chance. They were there as a part of your destiny and your fate. So the whole idea is the promise. You want a promise from me? I can't give you that. But what I have found is that you, every human being, has a destiny and a fate. And when you find your place inside where you are willing to begin again every day we begin again. What Suzuki called beginner's mind, every day. Every day, every day, I am a beginner. Every day, I know nothing. Every day, I've not accumulated knowledge or belief or whatever. I, every day, become simple, simple, simple. Now, when you can do any and all of that, you're going to find that your place suddenly moves over here and shifts over there. And you're going to be very grateful and glad you are who you are and what you are. And as you live in these manners, in this spirit, in this quadrant of the universe, you will find as your place starts to change, so does your attitude about your life and vice versa. And you will find maybe your outer world never changes. It just stays the way it is. But your inward life is unfolding constantly. Beyond your genetics, beyond your DNA, beyond your lineage, you just keep growing and growing, maturing, flowering. The last place it will show will be in your worldly life. And who cares? Who cares if it shows there or not? You don't care about that kind of stuff. What truly matters is that you found it in your heart and you found it in your breath, because it is in your breath that you find transformation. If you focus upon your breath and you find that pause, that gap, that space between your breaths, if you can vibrate to the tones of love inside you, you will find the light that lives as you. We are none of the things we believe ourselves to be. Trust me, we are not. We are far more beautiful than we could ever have imagined. David, I am so grateful for your beautiful question. I want to thank you for your kindness and everything and picking up on that, because this is a subject that I have not talked about on radio. Have a wonderful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. I hope you will join me. And again, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.